WATV Radio seeks to inform and engage the Bride of Christ to stand up and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATV Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go, bride! Our soon coming king awaits. Such an honor to be with you tonight. Listen, we have so many exciting things going on, and we are the Bride Ministries. I just cannot wait to tell you about them all. First of all, we launched our new website, which is watvradio.com, and on there it has a lot of more exciting things. First of all, I want to say welcome to our new director, Tristan Major, and also to our new assistant director, Pastor Angela Walker. And these are going to serve all of you ministries well. And so far, we have about 15 to 20 new hosts that are in the process of being trained, and they are going to be able to interview you people from all over the world. It is our honor here to highlight what God is doing in your ministry. And listen, we believe this with the bottom of our heart, that through this ministry, we are releasing the sound in the earth of unity in the Bride of Christ. Okay, and here is Mr. Tristan.
Hello, Bride. It's an honor to get to speak to you. I just wanted to mention that you can. We are honored to serve all of you and highlight your ministries and get the word out about what God is doing through you and with your ministry and in your area, even if you want to highlight what's going on with other churches around where you are. It's all about unity, and it's all about promoting everyone and bringing everyone together in unity under Christ. If you would like to advertise on us, we offer many options. We offer different options on our website at watbradio.com/advertise. And if you just want to donate to help us stay on the air and take care of whatever we need to take care of, whatever God presents before us, it's watbradio.com/donate. And here's June again.
Hallelujah. Listen, Brian, the Lord has blessed us with the money to start watb.tv. This is going to start in the fall. We are so excited to bring unity at a new level and to be preparing platforms for the bride to be able to have a voice to reach the harvest. Amen. So stay tuned to hear. Now go to our website at watb.tv and register if you're interested in having a show on there or interested in participating in that. Amen. Now also, if you'll go to our website at wearethebride.us, you will see many different ways that you can engage with us. You can become a volunteer on our volunteer page. We need many volunteers, web designers, graphic designers, people that will just take calls, people that are prayer warriors, people that can just type, people that can visit us in the different cities while we're traveling, anything, just go on there. Listen, we have the motto, just as I am. We will take you just as you are. If you have the heart to love and to give back to the bride, this is the place to be, because we want all of us to come together. Look, this is God's ministry, and so we're just serving Him in the spirit of excellence. Amen. Now listen, all of you from other nations that listen to this broadcast, we now have a new director named Henny Major that is able to focus purely on the bride overseas. And that, if you go to our website, wearethebride.us/nations, you'll be able to register your nation. And also, she has a page on Facebook, and we want to build a relationship with you. So that is through WATB Nations. Okay, also, the WATB Bride Fest. Bride Fest is a ceremony of purification, basically. It's just giving your life 100% to the Lord, dropping all of your dreams and the way you think your life should be and everything, just laying it down for the call that God wants to do with us. It's rising us up as the army of the living God in this last moment. So check out the website at WATB Bride Fest. We do have one coming up July 17th and 18th at the Hopkinsville Prayer Center. If Hopkinsville Revival Center, if you can go ahead and mark your calendar on July the 17th and 18th. Also, if you have prayer requests, listen, we have an intercession team now. I think we got how many, Tristan? 12 or 15 people on the intercession team. Submit your prayer request. And listen, thank you so much. Now, Tristan wants to say one more thing.
We'd really like it if the bride would lift up June, as she's going on a month and a half long trip. She's going to be out of town, and she's basically going on faith. So if y'all would lift her up, that God would provide for her over the next month and a half, and that God's will be done, and that he would show up mightily as he, yes, as she travels to meet all of you that have been on. Some of you have been on the radio. Some of you are going to be on the radio in the future. It's just a way of blessing and helping to unify the body of Christ even further. So just keep her in your prayers and your thoughts, and lift her up to God as she goes forward and does his will as best she's able.
Hallelujah, bride. Okay, we pray that you enjoy this broadcast. God bless you. To the Mama June Hour, where we tell different stories that highlight God. I pray that you sit back and enjoy yourself today. Amen.
Friends and all that. It's just incredible ministry testimonies. Kalani's testimony went out this week, and who knows who read that thing, but lives will be touched by it. Amen. So we want to receive our offering tonight, and we want to bless her ministry as she prepares to go back to Nashville. And just God lead me. You know, there are people that are people of faith, and she's one of them. So we're going to ask you to prepare to give. If you have a check, make it out to World Outreach. We're not making the Mississippi Awakening at this time. It's World Outreach Revival Center or Work Ministries. It doesn't matter. Either one of those. And just give from a heart of sowing into her ministry. She's going to bring you her word and testimony in a moment. But we just ask you to give from your heart. Did you enjoy the worship tonight? I want to tell you something. Every now and then, it's nice just not to have anything going on up here and just to get out there and just be with Jesus. I had a wonderful time tonight. Amen. So, Father, I thank you for all that you've done so far. And, Lord, I ask you to bless Sister June, her ministry, and all that you've directed her to do. Lord, fill her pockets before she leaves PICU, Mississippi. Father, let us seed into her just a seed of love. Holy Spirit, I ask you to speak to each person in this building tonight. Speak their mouths, O God, and let us have ears to hear. Let us bless your servant. In the mighty name of Jesus, and we all say,
Amen.
Amen. Would you come and give? Kristen, could you play me a little something, please? Hallelujah. Well, are you ready, Sister June? You want this up here or down there? Your call. Okay, we'll move it. We move for a lot of minutes. There's a lot. I like to be up above everybody. No, that's not true. What are we going about? Amen. It is good to have Sister June Knight. Did I say it right? Amen. Come on, give her a big hand.
Before I get started, I want to share a little something. I brought my book with me, and it was just released in January. It's called Stella and the Mark of the Beast, and what it is, it's about the mindset of the spirit of Antichrist, basically, and how it has taken over, which when I preach, you'll hear, you know what I mean, but it's basically when I was in London in grad school, I discovered the human implantation chip. That they're already chipping people. So I'm just telling people what is out there. This is from a research project. This is academic. It has 3 pages of sources. You know, the people that wrote theses and papers, you understand what I mean by sources. But it's all backed up. This is not my opinion. Okay? So if you could, you know, get it, it's back there at the table. Also, I have my card. For the radio station, the television's not on there yet, but if you could get that and check out the radio stations, this is what it is basically, is we highlight ministers and ministries across the globe. We've had China, Pakistan, India, you know, different countries, plus ones in America, and it's whoever God brings to us. You know, one time I got a big name speaker, Tommy Bates, and I got him and he was about to be on there. And then he canceled, like 2 days before it went live. I'm like, Lord, why did that happen? I did all the advertising and everything. He said, I didn't tell you to get those type of people. I want the ones that don't have a voice. I said, yes, sir, please forgive me. So since then, it's all the Christians coming out of the cave, and they have got a voice. Amen? So if y'all could check that out, you'll really enjoy it because we have them come on there and tell their testimonies. And did you know that every ministry started from a person's story? That means whatever the revelation was that God has about their life, God birthed a ministry out of it. If the person lets them take the pen and finish their book. Amen? So on the radio station, it has these people give their testimonies. What did God do to take you from nothing and make you into something? Tell us. And they tell it. And then when they preach whatever's on their heart. We don't put limits or tell them what to preach. And the Holy Spirit, we've had over 100 ministries so far. The Holy Spirit has built upon it, precept upon precept upon precept. And He does have a thing that He's telling the bride right now. Number one, you know, is that judgment's coming to the bride of Christ. to the church, you know, stuff like that. So it's really interesting. If you get a chance, you know, listen to that. Before I get started, I just want to honor a few people. First, I want to say thank you to your pastor. Listen, I wish I lived here. You know, I asked him, sir, would you be my spiritual father? One of my spiritual fathers. Because it's, I mean, y'all are so honored to have him. Yeah. And to just have another cousin here. I have another covering, you know, wisdom comes in many counselors. And so under my ministry, We Are the Bride, which is a media ministry, I have so far 3 apostles that are over me. And so I'm, you know, building people where I can have overseers that will always keep me in check, because I always want to be correctable. Please, if you see anything, tell me. You know, that's what I tell everybody around me, please. I want to keep a humble attitude. If you see something, get it out. Come on now, you know. And so the other person, so I want to thank you for opening up your pulpit. Where's Casey? Casey, sorry. I want to honor you, Casey. You are a revivalist. And when we had you on the television show today, your spirit came out and show the world about Mississippi. That's the fire. And that's why God put you with Pastor. Y'all blending hearts, blending fires. And that went out today to the world. Thank you, sir, for the honor of being up here and being the first woman. Come on. So thank you, sir. The other gentleman I want to honor is Mr. Martin. Come here, Martin. The first night when I come here, old Casey hooked me up with Marvin Turner. Let me stay at Marvin's house. Well, I go to Marvin's house, and God ministered to me the first night. Now, here I was, did a video, told the whole world, Bride, I'm traveling to all these different states. I'm here to serve you. I'm driving this car that's got 230,000 miles with oil all over the engine, going strictly by faith with $5, you know. So I said, okay, here I go. Mississippi's my first stop. So I come here to Mississippi. Come to Mr. Martin. He sits me down, and boy, it's like he's reading me like a book. Boy, he's like, you've been wounded. I'm sitting there like, I'm not here to receive, I'm here to give. But you know, God made me receive. I needed him. Like tonight with Pastor, when he said to me, I need this because of what's ahead. So anyways, Marvin read me like a book, corrected me a little bit, delivered me a few things, and then he brought out something that I didn't really even know was really hurting me with my father. I never had a father. You know, my parents divorced when I was 5, and then my father was an alcoholic, so then I never had a father. And thank God, you know, he got saved before he died, but I've never experienced a father. And then when you ministered to me, that was such a stress. And I tell you what, I asked him, I said, would you be my father? Anyway, so I've just been so blessed. I mean, there's so many of you here that are talented and gifted. The lady that dances, what's your name? Nancy. Oh my goodness. I honor you. When you dance before the Lord, I'm telling you, it's beautiful. Because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies, He created. And when we use that as instruments to give back to Him in worship, there's nothing holier than worship of your temple. I honor you with that, sister. And so I just want to ask, before I get started, the Lord gave me the sermon tonight in a dream. He gives me dreams. And before I go preach, he gives the sermons to me in a dream. I believe God is about to take every one of your destinies to the next level. Promotion is coming. Higher heights and deeper depths. God wants to wash you clean tonight. You don't know how prophetic it was for your pastor to come up to me and talk about this. Because Casey knows this. Casey is not really like my spiritual father, but he kind of is. He's kind of like my spiritual brother. I've been hurt and I've called Casey crying, you know. But he's just that type of person, you know, that you can go to about it. But I don't forget what I was saying. I looked at Casey and got off track. What was it?
Purity.
Thank you very much. Casey knows that I have been persecuted for my purity. And if you only knew my life story to understand how a miracle that is that I'm even, you know, able to say that. You know, from my testimony. But let's just take a moment and let's pray. And then I'll go in and deliver the word. Lord, we just come before you tonight. And we thank you, Lord, for your glory. We thank you for what you've done so far in this building, Lord. And what you're going to do for the rest of the night, Lord. We give the rest of the service to you. And I ask you, Lord, that you use my temple for your glory. To deliver the tree of life to your people. To set them free, Lord. And to set them on the path that you wrote in their books before time began. And I thank you for every heart in here having open to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And that the seeds would not die, but that they would be received and that they would grow and bear much fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I deliver the word, I was praying in tongues earlier. And I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, I just want to make sure that's what you want me to preach on. Like, is there anything else? I kept hearing purity, purity, purity. So he wants me to tell you a little bit about myself without taking the whole time of my testimony. But it boils down to this. You know, when I was young, I was molested, raised in that type of home, and abused and all the other stuff. Well, I ended up marrying someone like my father. I was so abusive, but I didn't know it was abuse because it's all I ever knew. So, at the end of that 9 years, I got saved the last 5 years, and I was asking the Lord, please save him, heal him, you know, make him into my man of God. You call me, you know, you pray. And it just never happened. And, so the Lord set me free. I was at a church, and this man stopped in the middle of his sermon. This is why I love Pentecostal churches, because he said, there's a woman in here, you're living in abuse, and if you don't get out, then he might kill you. Well, this pastor didn't know that my husband was threatening to kill me for a whole year prior to that, and my children. I have 3 beautiful children. So I knew it was me, and all the way home, I was praying in tongues. And I was doing warfare, and all you intercessors know that when you're praying in tongues, you can tell if it's a warfare, you know, if it's warfare, or if it's beauty and adoration of the Lord, or, you know, that type of deal. Oh, I was doing warfare. My kids knew, too. They was all under the age of 7. They knew to be quiet when Mama was tearing it up in tongues, you know. So I was like, oh, you know, doing this warfare, praying all the way home. But when I got home, I knew why God had me do that. He had it set in his heart he was going to kill us that night. But God warned me at church, had me pray in tongues. This is why tongues is so important, because the Holy Spirit knows. So I prayed in tongues all the way home. When I got home, I walked in the house with the little 3 kids, and I looked at him and I thought, oh my God, you can see Satan right in this guy. So I take the kids, go put them to bed, and I'm praying in tongues on the way back up the hall. And I sit down on the chair, And see, with him, I gained 150 pounds. I was never overweight. I was an athlete. But I don't know. I'm not blaming him, believe me. I'm just saying that's how I chose to deal with it. So he sat there, and he just put me down and down and down. And normally, I would be like, oh, just crying. But because God had set me free in my heart, I just looked at him and said, amen. Hallelujah, you know. So I put up with that for 2 hours. After that, he, you know, went off on me, so we kind of got in this little fight. This time I fought him back. When he got done, he said, I'm going to go get the shotgun and blow all your heads off tonight while you're asleep. And he was serious. So I rolled over, and I said, the blood of Jesus over my children and over myself tonight. I thank you that you're my protector and that there's angels surrounding me and my children. Then I had a flashback. Oh my God, my dad tried to kill my mom. What? You married somebody like your father? You know, it was like a revelation. And so I was like, God, please help me. So I made it to the next morning, and he come in there, and he's like, I don't know what come up with me, you know how they do. And so I took the kids, threw everything in bags, went to the courthouse, and done something legal for the first time. So we ended up divorcing. And while we was divorcing, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I want you all to myself because I'm a jealous guy. I said, what? He said, I said it. I want you all to myself because I'm a jealous guy. I said, are you saying I can never get married again? He said it again. I said, no. I'm not that girl. I cannot be celibate. No. Go. You need to find a virgin. You know, I'm too messy. So I told him no. Since then, I married 5 more times. Thanks. No. I married the kid's dad 2 more times. We kept trying to make it work. Now, I married this other guy. We had this summer fling. I married him. It lasted 3 weeks. He left me for another woman. Then I married this other guy. It lasted 1.5 years, and it was just horrible. I met this other guy. It lasted 1 day, and he left me. So I'm sitting here, 5 marriages later, and this woman at church looks at me, and she says, I think the Lord wants you all to himself because he's jealous of you. And I looked at her and I'm thinking, 12 years later, for real? I was so mad. So I left church and I was arguing with God all the way home. How dare you ask me 12 years later? What are you doing this to me? You need to find somebody else. There's no way I can be celibate. You know, I was severely codependent. I'm talking severely codependent. Okay? So I had this argument with him under the moonlight. I'm not that woman. So that next Sunday, the pastor was preaching, and he said, you know, if God calls you to do something, he's going to give you the strength to do it. So the Lord spoke to me, and he said, if you will trust me, I will show you what a real husband is. I said, how can you assess me? You know, just talking to him normal. And he said, just trust me, I'll show you. I said, okay. I failed at everything else in my life, okay. I said, you'll have to help me. So the next Sunday, I went up to the pastor and I told him, I said, Pastor, 12 years ago, because he knew all the dumb mistakes I made. So he was already ashamed of me, you know. And I was like, I need to tell you something. I said, I was in direct obedience to God, disobedience to God. And he wanted me all to himself, and I could not do it. So, if you'll let me, I want to get baptized, and I'm going to marry the Lord. And he said, I bear witness to that. So, the next Sunday rolls around. I mean, the story's long, but I'm just making it short. The next Sunday rolls around. I go up there to get baptized. I went in my white dress. I got in the water. And I come up out of the water, I was like, wow, I mean, purity. I can't explain it. Wash me from the top of my head, soles of my feet, all that shame of all the abuse. Everything just went out the window. So 4 days later, you know, because during that time I quit smoking and everything. 4 days later, the Lord wakes me up at 4 o'clock and he says, I want you to go to World Harvest Bible College. I was like, what? I'm 36 years old, you know? I was like, this can't be God. And he said it again. He said, I said, as I talked to me, he said, I said, go to World Harvest Bible College. I said, all right, Lord, what do I do with this house? He just gave me a home. He said, sell your house and give away everything you got and go. So the next day, he woke me up again. He said, I said, and told me again. I said, all right, Lord, if this is you, I'm going to ask you for one thing. If you want my son to give up his senior year, because my other son was already in Bible college, so this is awesome. I said, I'm asking you to pay his tuition of $4,500 at that school right next to the Bible college. If you pay that, I'll know that you called me to go. Because I'm not doing another thing, because Lord knows I made a lot of dumb decisions. So the next week, they allowed me to come up there. The point is, within 2 months, I sold my house at cost, didn't make nothing. Gave away everything I had and went with nothing but a dime to my name. When I got to World Harvest, God had an apartment waiting on us, gave us better furniture than we gave up. Not only did he pay for my son's tuition, he paid my other son's tuition, bought him a car, just God did so many miracles. And then he showed me what a husband was. First of all, being that I was codependent, he cut off all sources to income for 3 months and made me walk by faith. He shut off every car except mine that only had one payment left and could get 1 mile down the road. He would make that sucker break down if I tried to go anywhere else except to Bible college. We would get in the car and go to Bible college. I mean, I was crying too, because I mean, I was not having any money, I was hurting. So at the end of 3 months, they was getting ready to cut our lights off and our water and everything was collapsing. I had my 3 beautiful children. And I got really upset, so I went to the church at 1 o'clock in the morning on Saturday night looking at all the nation's flags. I didn't know how prophetic this was, but I was looking at all the nation's flags. And I said, you're supposed to be my husband. My husband would give me a home. My husband would take care of my children. You know, I've been up here 8 months. Where are you at? You know, one of the desert experiences. I've been here 8 months. Come on now. What kind of husband is this? And then, you know, and then I said, but I love you anyway. I don't understand. The next day I ran out of gas going to church. They filled the car up with gas. That afternoon, they repossessed us, and then I'm with no car. I went to church that night on Sunday night. I was like, oh, okay, you can have it all. If you want it all again, you can have it all. You know, the next day, this man walks up to me, and he says, I don't know what's going on with the Knight family, but God told me to pay all your bills. He paid $10,000 that day. Once God broke the heavens, and I passed the test.
Yes.
I never had to pay another bill. That's the kind of husband that he is. Once I got to the point where everything was collapsing, and my old self would have went back to cover a need for comfort through a man, I went to this man, the man. Once I let him know in my heart that he was all I'll ever need, then the provision came. But I had to go through the fire and through the process. Amen. So the purity of it is, so this is what the Lord gave me in a dream. Once upon a time, there was a man that created the earth and created a garden for his greatest creation, which was man. The garden, he walked through the garden at night, the cool of the day, and he would talk to his creation. And he would just enjoy spending time with them and loving on the ones that he created. Okay? He told them, all I ask is you don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but you can eat of the tree of life. So I'm going to pause here just a moment and let Casey read the scripture.
Genesis 1 and 12, and the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, and after his kind, God saw that it was good. Genesis 2, verse 7 through 10, and 15, and 17. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man who he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is planted pleasant to the sight, and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it parted and became four heads. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Revelation 22 verses 1 through 4. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and their name shall be in their forehead, and his name shall be in their forehead. Psalms verse 1 and 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Very good. Let me share this. The Lord revealed that, you know, when a person is born, when a man, you know, comes with his wife, he implants a seed inside her womb. That's the water. Inside dirt, which is the human. That is a tree being planted. Now just bear with me a minute. I'm fixing to write this other book about it called We Are the Bride in God's Great Garden. And all of the 100 ministries we featured are going to start being in books. So that's going to be volume 1, the story of God's people in the last day. Anyways, when the woman births that tree, and the tree comes out, the tree is dead. Okay? It's a dead man walking. But when the tree, because we're all in God's great garden today. This is God's garden we're walking in. When the tree realizes the need for the Creator, the one that created it, and it connects back to the Creator, then the roots go down into the rivers of living water. And then the heart, God judges the heart. The heart, what God showed me in the dream, is like pink and fleshy. And in repentance and love, it's very soft and beautiful like this. So the roots are down into the rivers of living water, which is the heavenly realm. Okay? When we keep our hearts soft, the roots are flowing. You're able to receive, and that's what bears much fruit. Y'all get me so far? So you're in the rivers of living water, and now that you're keeping your heart soft, the rivers are flowing through you, and you're bearing much fruit. That's why God judges the hearts. We judge the outward. Did you know that there's a lot of trees that have knots on it? There's a lot of trees that have missing limbs. There's skinny trees and fat trees. There are trees that are tall and trees that are short. Trees that have missing bark, trees of different color of bark. Trees of different kinds of leaves. Trees with different kinds of fruit. You know, God likes individuality just like He does His trees. And every one of His trees have a purpose. But see, if the tree will allow the Creator to take that book and to finish that tree's story, because every one of you are a story, if that tree allows the Creator to finish that story, then that tree is rewarded, number one on earth, by bearing much fruit and keeping the rivers flowing, but it's rewarded in heaven. But if the tree decides to be a stubborn tree and decides to be rebellious, God has no choice but to throw that tree in the fire. Because that tree bared no fruit, was of no use to God. He gave that person time here on earth to do something that He had wrote before time began. So let's say my story. Okay. Let's say June Dawn and I, they write my book, God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And they say, okay, we want June to start this great media ministry in the last hour before Jesus comes back. And she is going to transcribe The Last Bride through radio, television, and social media and all the other avenues to get the mass media out there. See what I mean? So she's going to serve pastors. She's going to serve ministry. She's going to serve the bride. All right, so June comes to earth. Satan does everything to defile the bride, trying to take my tree out. He defiles me. He beats me. He puts me down. He tries to slam me, hurt me. Everybody abandoned me to leave this tree so that it will not trust the Creator. So that this tree looks to the right and looks to the left and says, I don't like this, or I get bitter. Never wanting my destiny because I'm too busy looking. Too busy with my heart instead of trusting God in the Spirit. So Satan knows, oh, I got to stop her because she is going to help in the last days. She's going to help people do this and do that and help people to rise up into the mighty men and women of God that they're called to be, rising up the army. I got to kill her. I got to shut her down. So I'm going to have her husband try to kill her and her seed, because all of her seed are preachers. We're a preaching family. So he tries to kill us. First of all, tried to kill me by demon possessing me through a Ouija board, trying to get me to kill my family. And then he turned around and get me through my husband trying to kill us. You know what I'm saying? First it was through my parents, then me. You know what I'm saying? Just going down this line, doing everything to try to kill me. But when I connected to the Creator and said, yes, Lord, you can have my tree, all of it. My dreams of having a husband. My dreams of having all the life that I wanted, whatnot. When I graduated with a master's degree in corporate communications, I wanted to travel the world, people. They had sent me to London to study under the top three global media firms. I'm serious. I'm not trying to brag or nothing. I'm just saying, my will was like everybody else's, basically. You know what I mean? The normal. But his will, as soon as I graduated, bam, he shut every door. Get on that face. Because I wasn't right. He said, get on that face and get right with me. When I got on my face and I got in judgment under him and went through a whole summer of repentance. He made me get my heart back and get this tree back in line because I had to stop running over my misery. You see what I'm saying? So anyways, now the tree's lined up. I'm having to fight to keep this purity. Did you know that men will lust after you because of your anointing? It doesn't matter the outward appearance, how big I am. It's the beauty of the holiness. I was sitting there at worship one day, and I'm sitting there at Summer Glow meeting in Nashville. And you know, I'm very intimate in my worship and whatnot, and there's this married man sitting over there with his wife next to me. And I'm like, all into, you know, all in my worship and everything, and I'm feeling this demon over here, like just lusting after me, gross. You know, I'm like, I said, I just started praying in tongues, you know, I'm like, I rebuke you, Satan. So this man starts following me. Well, his wife leaves him because he cheated on me. He keeps following me, I block him on Facebook, because I called on what this man was doing, you know what I'm saying? So he finds me at this meeting in Nashville. He goes, what is wrong with you? Why won't you talk to me? And he said this right in front of this pastor standing next to me. So you back me in a corner, I'm going to back you. You know what I'm saying? I slammed my purse down and I said, because you got a lust demon, that's why. I said, I'm a single woman and you're a married man. I don't appreciate it. So he looks at me and he's like, okay, you know. He's like, well, cast it out then. I said, okay, I'm all about deliverance, you know. So me and this pastor take him outside, and we cast it out. And next thing you know, seven more come back. So anyways, I'm still fighting this thing. But anyways, the point is, you got to protect your anointing at all costs. Your tree, the rivers of living water. When you keep your heart soft and you keep it beautiful before the Lord, and you keep the rivers flowing. You keep it flowing. You got to protect this tree at all costs. No matter the cost. No matter how you got to separate yourself and consecrate yourself. And like the guy that was preaching this weekend, that evangelist, the holiness, oh, he was right on it. We have got to protect ourselves, our holiness, and how we carry ourselves, and how we act around people, and what we're watching. 2 years ago, I used to be a cheerleading coach. 13 years, I was a championship coach. And I loved competition. You know, we was all about it. So I was also the president of this cheerleading association over 13 cities. And I had little girls, 3 years old and up. And man, when I got back into prayer policy, the Lord got me good. He's like, let me show you what you do. And he showed me with that worldly music that I've impounded into the kids and had them gyrate to Beyonce and Michael Jackson and all the other cool hip-hop stuff that the world tries to make you think. When I got before my Creator and I saw what I influenced little girls, I was on my face repenting. It was horrible, y'all. It was horrible. I had the answer for that. Because you know what? You're going to face judgment here, honestly, before the throne, and repent when he brings stuff to your face, or you'll do it over there. I'd much rather face him now and let him get that root cleaned up. So anyways, I had to repent with that. So the Lord put me through 2 years of consecration. Shut off the TV, shut off any worldly music, any worldly influence, basically. On my face in prayer, obeying him every time he told me to do something, every place he told me to go. Now, at the end of the 2 years, I can sense evil a mile off. I'm telling you, when you watch what Satan throws at you through the television, the vomit that is being spewed, I'm telling you, being spewed out. It's going in your tree. And it's going in your temple. So the Lord gave me this dream, another one. I saw a tree in a forest. It was a pretty old tree. And it was underneath the sun. just standing there so beautiful, had all these pretty little fruits on me. It was just such a pretty tree in the forest. All of a sudden, this arrow comes flying at it and it set a fence. The tree saw it coming and went, "I forgive." And then he sat there real happy. And then here come another arrow. This one was bigger. It said, "Big offense." You know, it come flying at the tree, and the tree looked at it, and that one froze. The tree stood there and let that arrow come in. When that arrow come in, it went, bam! And it went right in the tree's heart. And when it went in the tree's heart, I saw a spirit, a black spirit like this, come out of the bottom of the arrow. And it goes down the veins, down to the root. Remember the roots were how they were flowing, beautiful and soft before the Lord? Uh-huh. When that offense come in, it went down and it went claw. So that vein going to the heart is now blocked from receiving from the rivers. Then that spirit come back up the vein, come to the heart that was beating real beautiful, and the heart starts slowing down. Because that tree opened the door to that offense, is what I saw. Bam! Bam! Arrow, 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 tearing that tree up, up, up. Spirit's going down, down, down. Claw, claw, claw. Clogging up them roots. Destroying that tree from the first entrance. That tree ended up being stiff and hard, and that heart shriveled up like this. And then that tree, that fruit on the tree shriveled up, and the tree got angry, and it went just like this. It went and got out of the sunlight. Because it had so many arrows from the enemy in that tree, the tree shriveled up and chose to leave the Lord. The Lord gave me that dream right before a women's prison when I went to preach in the prison. And a lot of women got set free because of that. And I'm saying the same thing today. God wants to heal your roots. Because not only do you allow things to clog up your roots through offense, but through what you allow to come in your eye gate and your ear gate. If you're watching television and the vomit, there was one show I was trying to watch. It was called Nashville, just because I'm from Nashville, born and raised. So I was like, oh, yes, I can at least watch one show, Lord. But they had this gay country music singer. And he kept getting closer. You know, and I was tolerating it. You know what I'm saying? Getting closer and closer. And then one day, he French kissed on national television the other guy. I said, shut that thing off. That was my thing of saying, Lord, please let me just watch one show. You know? So I ended up putting a tweet out there. I tried to use my radio authority. I said, Nashville ABC, I'm original Nashville. And I don't appreciate what you're doing to my culture. I said, I ask every one of my radio listeners to pay in the show Nashville. And I, you know, tagged Nashville to let them know I'm taking a stand. But you know what the pastors did in Nashville? Zilch. Nothing. The pastor this morning that said that about us standing up, we've got to stand up. We've got to fight for what is right. Amen. Okay, so now coming to the dream that God gave me for y'all. Now you understand the concept of the tree. Now you understand that you are a tree. I saw in this dream a cocoon, a caterpillar in a cocoon, hanging on a tree. And as the tree was there, the caterpillar was coming into a butterfly, struggling. And I heard the Lord say this, "What tree are you feeding from? The tree of life or the tree of the knowledge of good and evil?" Because when you're in your cocoon and you're struggling, and you're fighting in your trials and temptations or your process that God is taking you to, what are you feeding on? You feeding on the world who can offer you nothing through television and music. And you know, the Lord revealed to me that an idol is whatever you lean upon that is other than God when you're hurting is an idol. I used to smoke cigarettes like there was no tomorrow. Whenever I was hurting, oh, let's go get a drink. Come on, let's go to the bar and get a drink. I'm hurting today. I'm sad about this, or, you know, just any excuse, really. But whatever you lean upon when you're hurting, that's an idol to you. Cigarettes, gossiping, watching TV because you just need to get away. You're under so much stress. That's an idol. Oh, I've got to do this. I'm under so much stress. I'm hurting. That's an idol. Oh, I got to go have sex tonight because I'm hurting. That's an idol. Oh, I got to talk to this guy. I got to talk to somebody. That's an idol. Because God is your creator. And he will speak everything. Everything to you. When you're hurting, he wants to be the one you reach out to. When you're sad, he wants to be the one you cry out to. He wants to be your everything. We have to learn to let the other go and to go towards him. So if you're a caterpillar birthing into a butterfly, your wings, when you come out of that shell, will reflect what you fed off of. If you fed your flesh, when you fly, it'll reflect the flesh. But when you feed off the tree of life, which is the word of God and prayer and being in God's presence, then your wings are going to be so beautiful in so many different colors and reflect the presence of the Lord and bear so much fruit and get to meet all the other pretty little birds and stuff. But if you decide to do it off the flesh, it's not going to bear any fruit. And I just want to tell you all this. This book exposes a lot about the spirit of Antichrist. You've been lied to. You have been lied to. Because in the communications industry, there's a thing called the agenda-setting theory. Now, you know in disciplines like psychology or sociology, you have what they call theories. In the communications industry, it's called the agenda-setting theory. What that means is that the higher-ups will feed into society what they want you to know. Agenda-setting theory. I didn't really understand what they were saying until I went to London. When I went to London and I was in the very nice hotel next to the Queen's Castle, I was sitting there and I was like, what? They only got like 7 channels here? And all of the cartoons are kings and queens like it's normal here? You know, I mean, their whole society was geared around the monarchy. Not like we know it as fantasy or, you know, like Disney. No. It's the real, that's what they want them to think. See what I mean? So they have them shut off. They can't look at the American website. You know? That's why if you notice like .coms, you understand this mark. When you have websites in the United States, are all the normal ones like .com, .us, and whatnot, .net. The ones overseas are .uk, .au. They have to have their own separate identifier. They're not allowed, most of them are not allowed to get into ours and what we have freedom to see, except Facebook. A lot of, maybe not funny, but they'll allow them on Facebook. But anyways, the agenda setting theory is that all the news, if you look at the news, the way that they have all the different channels like Fox News, CBS, ABC, NBC are all telling you the same thing, don't you wonder why that is? They want you to believe what they're vomiting out. And I don't care if it's Fox News. I'm telling you, any of the mainstream media, okay? And here I was studying over in London because I wanted to be a part of that. See what I mean? It wasn't until God knocked me down and made me go 2 years without feeding off any of that to open my eyes to, oh my God, the bride of Christ is being lied to like this? What? And now I'm seeing because I want you to start a media that is the truth, that's not going to be tainted by the new grace message that's being vomited into the body of Christ. that's trying to tell them grace, you know, that you can live like you want to and still get to heaven. That's not true. We have to walk in holiness. And so anyways, so I wanted you to be aware about the end of times, that we are at the end of times, and that there is an agenda by the enemy that tries to define your identity and tries to tell you if you're not a 5'7" bombshell, that's 120 pounds, 36, 24, 36, that you're not accepted and you're not beautiful. But I'm going to tell y'all something. I have prayed with many people on their deathbed. There's two commands God gave me when He put me in my pit. He said, pray for people that are dying and use your skills that I taught you in school to help my people. So when I started praying for people that's dying, I went to this 101-year-old man. And I was like, I don't know how to do this, Lord, but I obey. We obey when we don't know. You just do what He says to do, you know? So I go in this room, and he's in a coma, and it's a bunch of Nashville music executives. And so I went back in the back, and I kind of sat there while they was all crying. I could tell he was a very well-loved man. And so after, his wife was still living. She was 93 in a wheelchair. And she rolled out of the room, and the Lord said, it's time to pray. So I stood up, and I said, do y'all mind if I pray? And they're like, no, go ahead. So I go up to the bed, and I laid my hands on this man. And when I did, the Lord took me with Him. I didn't know that it was the time for him to go. The Lord took me into heaven with Him. It was like I went, and here's this man, and the angels were like singing and just bowing to this man. And I was like, oh. You know, I couldn't even hardly breathe. I was like, oh, you're so royal. You're so royal. I was like, I'm so honored to even be praying with you. You know, like, wow, this man, nobody knows him. You know what I mean? And so anyways, when I come back, I was just weeping and I couldn't hardly breathe. When I come back, everybody in that room was about on their face. They was weeping. That's why I love it when Jesus takes us home. It is so peaceful, y'all. It is the most beautiful experience. Nothing to be afraid of. Oh, He lets everybody around know that He has got you in the palm of His hand. So everybody's bald. Marvin, you think you're about to die. Marvin's like, yeah. So the people, the executives was like, oh my God, we never heard a prayer like that one before. And I was like, I don't know what to tell y'all except your dad is royal. So the next day I go back to find out what happened. I said, you're not going to believe what happened. Our mom, as soon as you walk out, rode back in the room. She felt the presence of the Lord, grabbed His hand, and said, honey, you can go. I love you. That man waited until his wife said bye. Then he went with Jesus. So the Lord showed me, praying with all the many different elderly. There's a 110-year-old woman. So many wrinkles on her face. And I was looking at her face one day. I was loving on her last 6 months. And I was looking at her face one day. And the Lord showed me. He said, I love faces. Do you know, faces are like the ring on a tree. They tell a story. And we try to cover our faces. We try to cover our wrinkles. We try to cover our chins. Try to cover our eyes and do like this. Do our lips like this. And, you know, just try to cover up because the world tells us the identity of beauty. But God loves natural. Not saying that we can't put paint on the old barn. I'm just saying that we try to do everything so superficial because we're trying to please man. But when I pray for those elderly people and I rub their head and I'm rubbing them in the midst of their shame, when their family members have abandoned them because the world tells them not to love the elderly like they used to. not to respect the elderly anymore. When I rub their beautiful faces with all the wrinkles, I just sit there and cry. I'm like, Lord, it's an honor to be with this person before you take them home. You know? And this one woman, she was in her 70s. I was visiting her at the nursing home, but her family that lived in the same town would never come see her. And she was always so sad, and I'd pray with her. I'd say, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, and we'd pray, Lord, please, before you take her home, please let her family come see her. So they was coming to repossess my car, and I had 1 hour left. They said, we're going to repossess your car in an hour. So I said, okay. So I went down the road to see this woman. And I walked in the room, and I had been ministering to her about 4 months before this time. I walked in the room, and she's in a coma. And I've learned that even if they're in a coma, they're still alive. And to talk to them, because they're still there. It's just their body's failing. So I walked in there, and she's in a coma, and I just started crying. And I went over, and I grabbed her hand, and I said, hey, I just want you to know that I love you. They're repossessing my car, and this may be the last time I get to see you. But I just want to tell you that I love you. Honey, God let that woman come out of that coma. She come out of her coma like this, and she goes, I love you too. And we just cried together. And so I left there, and that night she died. And they called me the next morning before church. And they said, we just want you to know she died last night. And I said, all I want to know is did her kids come. Please tell me. I've been praying with this woman for 4 months. They said, no. I was like, no, God, please. Why didn't you let the kids come? I'm mad at God, you know. I'm like, please. So I go to church, and God really ministered to me and everything. And 2 days later, they called me, and they said, wow, we've got something to tell you. They said, you know God woke the kids up at midnight and said, your mom's dying, go see her now. And they got there, and she come out of the coma and got to spend the last 15 minutes with her children. And got to talk to them and pray for them and bless them and leave her blessing. And then she held their hand as God took her over. But see, she let the Lord have the end of her tree. It's not how you begin the race. It's how you finish. So today I want to encourage you because the Lord told me there's some people in here that God has given you dreams about your life. And the world has come in and either distracted you or got you discouraged about those dreams. Because life got in the way. Discouragement got in the way. Offense hit your tree. Words were spoken to your tree and damaged your tree. But God brought me here tonight to tell you He wants to restore your tree. He wants your tree to start bearing fruit for Pekin and for Mississippi. So God wants to heal your roots tonight. He wants to clean those clogged up roots that, you know, sometimes things happen you don't even realize that you've got offense. I go through a lot of persecution through ministers in my town. Casey knows this. And I kept saying every time they'd say something or do something, I'd say, I forgive. You know what I mean? I bless you. I forgive you, you know? And I didn't realize I was building bitterness. And then I'm on my way to Kentucky last weekend, and the other staff member that was with me kept bringing up this person's name, and I kept feeling his anger. Like, I could feel it, this root coming up. And I was like, I just grabbed his hand and like, pray for me now. Because I've obviously got a root of bitterness against this person because I'm feeling this thing up in my throat, you know, this anger towards this person. Oh, man, I was riding down the road. I was just weeping. God, please, come on now. And I want to tell y'all this. The Lord is about to come back after a bride without spot and wrinkle. The devil wants to keep you spotted. He wants to keep you defiled. Did you know that that's why Satan, the spirit of Antichrist, is using the spirit of homosexuality against the world today? That is the ultimate defilement to the temple. The ultimate defilement to the temple. Because God created us a seed after its own kind, so that we can procreate and keep his beautiful garden in order. If we operate in the spirit of homosexuality, we're defiling our temple and everything that God stands for. And did you know that over the throne of God is a rainbow? How many knew that? I just learned that, you know. And you know that's their symbol. It's a smack in the face to God. It's an abomination. And yes, I'm saying it. It's an abomination. And it's the ultimate defilement. But I'm going to tell you, not only is homosexuality a defilement, but when you practice any type of sex outside of marriage is a defilement. Because you're allowing things to come into your temple that are not supposed to be in your temple. Because God wants you to walk in holiness and purity and protecting your temple at all times. And I'm going to break some people's theology today, but you shouldn't even kiss a person before you get married. You know why? Because when somebody wants to court you, you are bought with a price. Your tree is bought. No one has a right to touch your tree. You are holy and sanctified and bought by your Creator. They don't have a right to touch your tree or to try to take you down a road that's going to take you nowhere but hell. So if somebody wants to date you, they better go to the very Creator that created you. And they better ask God Himself to have anything to do with your tree and your temple. And then, when they go to the Creator, He better speak to that person. And He better speak to you to come in agreement. Because you've been bought with a price and they don't have a right to touch it. And if they want to touch it, they better put a ring on it. Amen. So, I just want to encourage you that if you're single, young people, I know y'all are back here laughing, but listen. I have been there, down the wrong road, many, many times. And it does nothing but bring you sorrow. And I know I look like an old woman up here, you know, an old woman up here just telling you that, but listen. God wants you to keep your purity. Because that's the most precious jewel that you can give a spouse. Is the holiness of your temple before you create it. And when God gives you a husband or a wife, and you're able to come to them in purity, that is beautiful and holy before the Lord. It's like the most perfect gift that you can give someone. And when we don't know our identity, we give that gift away. Because we don't understand the treasure that we have. Like Catherine Kuhlman says, I love him more than anything. There's nothing worth losing your love. That's right. Worth lose your relationship with God. Nothing. We must protect the anointing that God has given us so that we can be what God has called us to be. Now let me tell you, 2 years ago, when I wanted to take over the world in the communications industry, I would have never thought that I would be the picking of this city around some of the greatest people that are so loving. This is worth more than any money could buy. To be here and to just share my life. I'm a nobody.
I'm just somebody that loves the Lord, coming to your city and sharing how God took a whore and made her pure so that I could give back to the bride and I can help the bride get ready to march in the army that God wants us to march in. I had this prophet a year and a half ago tell me, the Lord wants to see you tomorrow. Go to your special spot he's got a gift for you. Well, my spot's the woods. I pray in the woods because I'm Cherokee Indian. And I go down to the woods the next day and I said, all right, God, your prophet said you have something for me. What is it? And I got down there. And when I got in the throne room in intercession, the Lord gave me the ending to my book, The We Are the Bride. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God came on me, and there was like thousands of skinny trees all in front of me. And the fire of God came on me, and I was like, you have been lightened in the name of Jesus. The world tries to tell you your identity that you're skinny and frail. But God says you're a mighty oak tree. So years later, I'm headed to Florida to an apostolic women's conference. This was just a month ago. Riding down the interstate, I know that I'm coming out of my pit now. God is starting to open some doors. I'm riding down the interstate in my old beat-up car that's been so good to me, let me tell you. I'm driving down the interstate, and I've got the wind blowing in my hair, all the windows open, and I look out, going through Alabama, and there's these beautiful, tall, massive trees. And I was like, wow, y'all trees are awesome and massive, you know, just talking to them. And next thing you know, bam! The Spirit of God comes in the car, boy, it was like waves of His glory. It was like, oh, I could smell Him. He was all over me like a glove. And He revealed to me, He says, see those trees? That's where you're going. The 2 years ago when I was preaching those skinny, frail trees, now God is bringing me up to the mighty. Because I'm going to be traveling the world and telling the bride, you're mighty. But if you listen to the world, you'll remain frail and skinny. And when I was in the men's prison, right before I went down there to Florida, I was telling them about their trees. And the men, I mean, there was this guy that was a flaming homosexual. And he had his hair all put up and had a pretty makeup on, you know. You love him anyway. And I walked up to him before service and I was like, sir, God has something for you tonight. Hallelujah. You know, because I love you, man. I get up there and I'm preaching about the garden, about the trees. I looked over at this man. The conviction power of the Holy Spirit was all over that homosexual. That was the most beautiful sight when they're in repentance. It's so beautiful. So all the men, when it was done, lined up all the way back in the building to talk to me. So they come up here as one man. I've got a bad tree. I said, all right, let's get saved. Repeat after me. So he'd walk off smiling. Next one. My tree's got demons. Okay, step over here. Come out! Goes over there. Next one, come up. I got a bad tree. All right, let's get saved. It was so fun. Because all them guys come over, they knew what I was talking about the tree. You know. Because listen, all of us have had things that our trees have been through. Did you know that trees don't have a choice where they're planted? Some of you was born in Mississippi and probably didn't want to be born in Mississippi. But God planted you in Mississippi. But I'm going to tell you, after my interview today with your pastor and Casey and Marvin, I'm so in love with Mississippi. And I'm so excited for the world to see the heart of Mississippi. But God chose you to be here for such a time as this, to hear this message that your tree is unique, designed by God. for a destiny and a purpose. And everything that the world has told you that you should be is a lie. Because the kingdom of darkness is directly opposite from the kingdom of light. Now, my brother over here, come here. Yes, I'm talking to you. Come here. We had him and Marvin on the radio the other day. Most of you know this guy was an ex-Satanist. 30 years a Satanist. You know why? Because when he was little, he was poor. And he stunk from having to clean up the bar that his family made him clean. He goes to church, and the church kicks him out because they don't want this poor little kid to stunk. But who took him in? The Satanist. Where did he find acceptance? Through the Satanist. 30 years he served. 30 years he gave his tree to Satan. See what I mean? Satan purposely marked his tree. I want you to stretch your hands forth to him right now. We're going to ask God to clean this tree. Amen. Lord, we ask you right now to remove these tattoos in the name of Jesus. Supernaturally heal his skin. Restore his tree to what you have designed this tree to be, God. This is your tree. It was never Satan's. And we take the tree back as the bride. Coming together. And repeating to God that we didn't love the Satan. We didn't love him. We didn't love his tree because his tree stunk. His tree was in the bad part of the forest. And we rejected him. And Satan took this tree for a ride. Listen. Y'all got to love your tree. And let God have your tree every bit of it. 100%. So please, y'all, when I leave, please love on his tree. I have been in love with this man. He's been through so much. Please love his tree. Thank you, brother. But I just want to show you, that's one example. And when I was interviewing him, I couldn't help but just sit there and cry. They're almost my own interview. I'm like, why, please? We've got to love. Come on now. We've got to love these people and their trees. You know, just because a tree is scarlet or fat, or ugly, or short, or tall. Just because the world says that they're different does not mean that God thinks they're like that. We should love people the way God loves us. You know, this revival, this is why I love Casey so much. What he's done here, him and Pastor. I put it on Facebook. This revival here, Picky and Mississippi, is a baptism of love. Because we have got to have love to get the bride ready. And y'all got to love each other. And believe me, I'm not trying to rebuke you either. If you're living in sin and all that, just come up. Let's pray that thing out. Get those roots cleaned up. Ain't nobody here judging. Let me tell you. Because when I was in Bible college, and the speakers would come up there and say, okay, if you're dealing with homosexuality, run up here. Ain't nobody there trying to be pretty. They're running. Because God needs to heal those trees before they can be preaching trees. That's the same way here tonight. Ain't nobody judging. We just got to get your trees pretty to God. Because he judges the heart. That's why the trees can be on the outside looking one way, but that heart can be rotten in the rotten. But God wants to keep that tree, the inside of that heart, soft and beautiful and fine. But it can't be if we hold a fence. And the only reason that Satan wants you to keep a fence is because a fence is his number one plan. Because a fence hardens the heart faster than anything. Because love is the key to all things, you know, like deliverance. Love heals so many things. Love is God's grace with it. Offense is Satan's. So everybody bow your head for a minute. If we could have a little bit of music playing in the background. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight with this forest of trees. I thank you, God, that some of these trees have been through many storms, many floods, many fires. Some of the trees have been smacked around, God. Some of them have been beat up. Some of them have had birds constantly just poop on them and constantly harass them. Some of them have bees that just build nests in them and just continually torture them, Lord. But Lord, you love those trees. You love the trees in the forest. And every one of those trees are mighty oaks in you, God. Some of them may not know that they're mighty oaks. But I pray they leave tonight knowing they're mighty in you. Holy Spirit, I pray that.
Thank you for joining the broadcast today at the Mama June Hour. I pray that you've been blessed, and we will see you again next time. God bless you.